It's amazing when you get given a passage. There are some passages which are great, and there are other passages which are great, but you wish you weren't given it. And this passage basically is a great passage, but it can be quite hard-hitting, I would suggest. It can be quite uplifting, quite convicting, and everything in between. But know, I love you all, and that the Lord loves you, more importantly. So if there's something that I say, know the heart that it's coming from, which is love, that we would be more like Jesus, that I would be more like Jesus. I promise you, this has challenged me as much as it will challenge you. So we're going to turn to, you might want to use that little link there, use the little QR code. There are some copies of the notes. There's a few copies if anybody wants hard copy notes. But you will need a Bible, I would suggest. So either use the QR code or raise your hand and the Connect team will run to you with a Bible. Some will walk to you, but that's okay. We're going to, I'm not actually going to read all of it in one go, because this morning at the first service I ran out of time. So I'm going to read it all, but we're going to read it in chunks, if that's all right. We're looking at Galatians. We're looking at Galatians 5, 16, verse 16, all the way to the end of that chapter, into chapter 6, to verse 10. So can I encourage you to look at Galatians 5, 16 to 18. If you're getting a Bible hard copy, don't be afraid to use the index. That is absolutely fine, the contents page. They were printed for a reason, and it's to help us find the books in the Bible. So feel absolute freedom to you. I remember sat there as a young person, and I felt so guilty that I couldn't find a particular book. It's okay. You've got your phone, use that, or if not, use the index. And that would be great. The main thing is that you look at God's word. Cool. So Paul's purpose in this passage is to convince the Galatians that the Holy Spirit's power is inexhaustible and that they can be filled with the Holy Spirit and they can live for Jesus and build his church. And I believe that for us here today, that we need to hear this as much as the Galatian church needed to hear it. First point I want to come to is in verses 16 to 18, and that is walk in the Spirit. So Galatians 5, 16 to 18. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. I had the amazing opportunity to go on a retreat. I'm not very good at going on retreats, so I was sent to America to go on retreat. And it was a great honour, and I am super grateful. It's taken about 5 years to get on one like that. It was an amazing time. But one aspect of it was each morning, we had about an hour and a half to do a quiet time. A quiet time is when you open God's word and you spend time with him, reading it and listening to him and praying. And it was a great opportunity. It was a brilliant time of hearing from God. But each morning we were encouraged to go out of the gates. It was like it was a ranch. So if you imagine, if you watch any of those kind of Hallmark films, which are all really lovely and usually filmed on the same ranch, but it's just got a different title to the movie. It had like a fence around this nice, very large bungalow. And just so that you don't think it was too like nice, we're in dormitories. Okay, I haven't been in a dormitory for about 30 years, maybe 40 years. But it was, anyway. That's by the by. I don't want you to think he went off to Texas and he had a great time, and it was a great time. But anyway, so you go out and you say, Lord, which way do you want me to go? More importantly, Holy Spirit, which way do you want me to go today? And I have to tell you, at the beginning, I was a bit like, really? But do you know what? Every time God spoke, because I went in a particular direction. Friends, we are called to walk by the Spirit. In these verses, we are being called to walk by the Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit is at work today and he longs for us to join in. He longs for you to join in. Friends, sadly, Christians are often as confident in the Holy Spirit as they are in the weather forecast, believing both to be too mysterious and unpredictable to merit much confidence. But I want to say to you today, we need the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. Each and every one of us. It may look different, but we all need it. You can't run your car without petrol, diesel, or electricity in it. In the same way, I can't live for Jesus without the Holy Spirit filling me. And it's so important that we walk in the Spirit. Paul's letter to the Galatians is as relevant to you and me as it was then. Now we get into the tricky bit. We go into verses 5, 19 to 21. I really want to encourage you to be open as I read these. Allow the Holy Spirit to nudge you, to prompt you, maybe even to convict you in love. So Galatians 5, 19 to 21. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, Paul begins to identify some of the sins we're inclined to take part in when we don't walk in the power of the Spirit. You may ask, why does he even need to list them, especially as many are obvious? But part of his approach comes from Paul's point that Christians are no longer living under the law of Moses. You see, the law of Moses clearly spelled out in detail exactly what was sin and what was not. But it's important to note that Paul is not creating a new law to be followed. Instead, he seems to say, we all know what a sinful lifestyle looks like. Here's a list. And he then goes on to give examples of sinful behavior, which don't tally with living free in Jesus Christ. The 15 areas of sin that Paul talks about break down into four areas: sexual, secondly, religious and spiritual, thirdly, personal relationships, and fourthly, intemperance and hedonism. So we're going to look at these, but remember, bring them, if you feel nudged, bring them to the foot of the cross. There is nothing that Jesus cannot sort. First of all, sexual immorality, adultery, not being faithful to your wife or your husband. You might say to me, I'm faithful to my wife or my husband or to my partner, but, or my fiance. But how do you look at somebody in the office? Is there a relationship that you know you shouldn't be in, or a friendship that you have that's getting in the way of your marriage? Really important. Maybe you're sleeping around. Maybe you're not married. Maybe using apps to meet people that you know aren't helpful to your walk with Jesus. Bring it to Jesus. Secondly, impurity. Pornography, what you watch on television, on your tablet, on your phone. This can be subtle. Netflix has got loads of good stuff, but it's got other stuff that we can be made to feel is okay. Bridgerton, for example. Is it okay to watch it? Is it not? If it causes you to stumble, steer away from it, friends. Steer away from it. Thirdly, debauchery. Excessive indulgence in unrestrained sexual gratification. Then we come on to religious and spiritual sin. There's idolatry, not giving our worship to God. What is most important in your life? Is your job? Is your job your everything? Is your house, your home, your flat, your apartment? Is your money? Maybe this week you've been worrying silly that you're going to lose all your savings because a particular party was voted in. Is it becoming all-consuming? Maybe it's actually your political allegiance. Anything that gets in the way of your relationship with Jesus, bring it to the foot of the cross. Can I just say one thing, actually? There was an interesting article that Jeremy Clarkson wrote. I don't agree with a lot of stuff Jeremy Clarkson writes, but he did say this: the world has kept spinning. Whether you were pleased about Thursday, you might have been doing cartwheels and it's the best thing that's ever happened, or you might be really worried and really concerned. Do you know what? The only way our world will change is when people fall to their knees and worship Jesus. Doesn't matter who's in power. We've got to fall to our knees. The reason this stuff is important that we're talking about is if we get this sorted, we will be a community that people cannot help but see Jesus. Cannot help but see Jesus. Ultimately, friends, Jesus wins. Fifthly, witchcraft, a desire for spiritual power outside of God. C.S. Lewis put it like this, called it a spiritual lust. In Leviticus 19, 31, we read, "Do not turn to mediums or seek out spiritualists, for you will be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God." Then we move on to personal relationships. Paul highlights eight areas. First of all, hatred, hostility, holding on to grudges. Are there things you need to let go of and seek to make healthy relationships? Then there's discord, a mean spirit that blows issues out of proportion. And then jealousy, an unhappy or angry feeling of wanting to have what someone else has. Do you long for what others have rather than rejoicing in the blessing that you have? And finally, fits of rage, the explosion of anger. What's going on in your heart? I think anger is an area that I believe the Holy Spirit wants to speak into. There was once a little boy who had a bad temper. His father gave him a bag of nails and told him that every time he lost his temper, he must nail with a hammer a nail into the back fence. The first day, the boy drove 37 nails into that fence. Over the next few, by the way, this isn't me, just in case you're wondering. Over the next few weeks, as he learned to control his anger, the number of nails hammered daily gradually dwindled down. He discovered it was easier to hold his temper than to drive those nails into the fence. Finally, the day came when the boy didn't lose his temper at all. He told his father about it, and the father suggested that the boy now pull out one nail for each day that he was able to hold his temper. The days passed, and the boy was finally able to tell his father that all the nails were gone. The father then took the son by the hand and led him to the fence. He said, "You have done well, my son, but look at the holes in the fence. The fence will never be the same." You see, when you say things in anger, they leave a scar just like this one. You can put a knife in a man and draw it out. It won't matter how many times you say you're sorry, the wound is still there. A verbal wound can be as bad as a physical one. Please forgive me if I've ever left a hole. Then there's selfish ambition, willing to do anything to achieve your goal. Are you blinded by the needs of others? Do you trample on others? Selfish ambition is easy to see in others, but maybe harder to see in yourself. Then there's dissension, disloyalty, defiance of genuine authority. Then there's factions, exclusive cliques that often meet in secret. That is not what Jesus wants for his church. It doesn't mean you can't meet with friends. It's when you close yourself off from the rest of the body of Christ and make others feel unwelcomed. Our devotion, friends, needs to be to Jesus. Then there's envy, feelings of ill will, holding a grudge or hostility towards someone because they have something such as position, money or reputation that you don't have and you want it. It's resenting another person's blessing. And then we come on to the final two that are intemperance. Drunkenness. As followers of Christ, we are called to live differently to the rest of the world. We're told to be self-controlled and sober-minded. In Peter, we read, "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert of sober mind so that you may pray." And then there's orgies. The term in Greek refers to drunken partying. Friends, there's nothing wrong as Christians in having fun. But the key here is that this is all you want to do. It's the living for pleasure. And then he says this, and the like. In other words, you know what's God's best. You know what's God's best. Friends, there is forgiveness at the cross. There is forgiveness at the cross. I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. As the Holy Spirit speaks to you, bring it to the foot of the cross. There is forgiveness, there's welcome, there is embrace. Don't think that you're the only one in the room who stumbled. We all stumble. But do you know what the cool thing is? We can leave this place changed because we've met with Jesus. Friends, as God's people, we're called to be the church, to live differently from the world, and people notice it. I love this church family and believe we all want the best for Jesus' church here at Gold Hill, but we must guard against anything that causes us to slip or fall. In Romans, we read, "Rather clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh." And then we come on to this. Be filled and grow. Hands up here if you have a greenhouse. A few of you. I have a greenhouse. That's my greenhouse. The mistake I made with that greenhouse is I didn't pay the £300 to have the greenhouse put together. It seemed a lot of money. It still is a lot of money. But that greenhouse nearly did my fingers in. And maybe I could have got a bit angry, but I didn't, I don't think, if you asked Helen. I managed to keep my cool. But it's there. The amazing thing with this greenhouse is there are fruits in it. A tomato is a fruit, as well as it can be known by nutritionists as a vegetable. But you will see in there are fruits. There are bits that have been trimmed off, because I'm told that that makes the plant healthier. It does, Darren, honestly, mate. There, I got a smile from him. He was looking very serious. I was worried there. There's little bits put on the ground here. The reason I tell you this is sometimes we have to trim things off in our lives. And some of that we've just heard about. Be filled and grow. Let's go into Galatians 5, 22 to 26. But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying of each other. Friends, I don't know which fruit you long to see in your life. Maybe it's love, seeking the highest good of others. Mother Teresa put it like this: open your hearts to the love God instills. God loves you tenderly. What he gives you is not to be kept under lock and key, but to be shared. Then there's joy, gladness that is not based on our circumstances. Then there's peace, contentment, unity between people. Forbearance. To you and me, that means patience. Slow to speak, slow to anger. A prayer that somebody once said was, "God, grant me patience. Now!" Then there's kindness, compassionate, thoughtful and helpful, and goodness, generous and open-hearted. faithfulness? Are you dependable, loyal, and full of trust? And gentleness, humble, calm, and non-threatening? And finally, self-control, behaving well. Which of these fruits of the Spirit does the Lord want to particularly grow in you? Maybe just for a few moments, let's just ponder that. Finally, let's go to chapter 6, verses 1 to 10. Brothers and sisters, church family, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something, when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Friends, as we come to Jesus and ask his forgiveness, he embraces you. There is nothing that he cannot forgive. There is nothing that he cannot deal with in your life. If you are sit married and seeing somebody that you should not be seeing, he can deal with that. If you're watching things that you shouldn't be watching, whether you're male or you're female, he can deal with that. If you need to bring to him your temper, he can deal with that. If you know that alcohol is an issue in your life, he can deal with that. There is nothing that he will not embrace you and say welcome. There may be earthly consequences that we will journey with you through, but there is nothing that he cannot deal with. He loves you. He wants to see those fruits grow in you. You see, the title for today is what a Spirit-led community looks and feels like. It looks radically different to that of the world. A friend of mine had a dream, and I love this dream. And I guess this would be my dream. That as we fall to our knees, that we would be founded on a love for Jesus. And this is for the church in the UK, but I think there's elements of it that we could embrace. Church is found on a love for Jesus rather than meeting our personal needs and fulfilling our preconceived ideas and preferences. Church is so filled with the Holy Spirit that they become utterly attractive communities of God's presence and power. Church is where seekers find reality in an eternal relationship with God and Jesus Christ. Church is where the sick are healed morally, spiritually, mentally, physically, psychologically, and relationally. Church is where the oppressed are liberated. Church is where the broken are cared for and mended for God's eternal purposes. Church is where the poor are helped and given a new perspective and hope. Church is where families are restored and God's order gloriously and gratefully established. Church is where addicts are set free and stabilized with a loving, godly discipline. Church is where people are empowered to become all that God created them to be. I believe God wants to do something today in our personal lives that will impact our church's life. God is doing a remarkable thing. As we walk in the Spirit, as we turn from sin, as we are filled with His Spirit, we will grow the fruits of the Spirit. And trust God for the harvest. Friends, keep running. You may be weary. Allow the Holy Spirit to refresh you right now. We're going to move into a time of communion. And we're going to do it slightly differently, if that's all right, if you allow me to do that. I can't live my Christian walk without the forgiveness of Jesus. But I also can't live it without the filling of the Holy Spirit. So what we're going to do, if that's all right with you, if you're able, if you're not, somebody will bring it to you, just indicate. But I'm going to ask that you come forward to these points here, and we'll give you some wine. It's grape juice, actually. Receive it. Receive the love and the forgiveness of Jesus, that He poured out blood for you. And then you will receive some bread. And as you receive that bread, in fact, we'll do it the other way around. I'm sorry. You'll have bread first, and then you'll have wine. But as you receive that wine, I've asked the prayer team to simply pray that the Holy Spirit will guide your steps this week. It won't be long. Don't think, oh, my word, what's going to happen? Just go with it if you would allow me. Is that all right? So receive the bread, then go. They'll give you the wine and they'll simply pray, Holy Spirit, guide Matt's steps this week. Holy Spirit, guide Helen's steps this week. Receive all that is this table. But friends, you can bring anything to this table. It won't surprise the Lord because He already knows. But you will find release. And you will find welcome. And also, don't be afraid to share it with one of us. If you need to speak to us afterwards, speak to us afterwards. And we can chat further and we can pray for you. Lord Jesus, we give you this time of communion now. we come to this table. And thank you that at it we find bread broken and wine representing your body and blood. And Lord Jesus, we fall at your feet. Minister to us, I pray, in these moments, gently and beautifully, but in a way that will radically change our lives and ultimately will change this church's life, this community's life, our workplaces' lives, our colleagues' lives, our friends', our families' lives. In Jesus' name.